Today, we continue the theme we started in the last episode as we take a deeper dive into the all-new iOS 16 and answer the question, in light of the most recent iPhones that have been released by Apple, what iPhone should I buy? I'm your host, Luke Clayton, and this is the Must Increase Podcast. Hey there, and welcome to the Must Increase Podcast. This is your home of Church Media HQ and Connection Culture. Our mission is to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of your church, your business, your family, and beyond. As I mentioned, I am your host, Luke Clayton, and yeah, it's just me again today because we are going to be looking more at the theme of Apple's new iPhones and their new iOS. And so this all comes from a question that we got in light of our last episode. And remember, you can text your questions to 615-900-4461. That's 615-900-4461. And this question was very simple, and it's one I expected to get at some point, and that is, which iPhone should I get? Well, we are going to answer that question here in just a bit later in this episode. But to go with maybe some of the stuff we like that I'm going to recommend this week to be on theme and on point, if you will, with what we've been talking about in terms of new iPhones and stuff from Apple, and something that if you've got an iPhone, you can take advantage of and you can get right now. And that is to talk a little bit about iOS 16. iOS 16 is the latest release that came from Apple. They announced it earlier this summer, and now they've actually released it and pushed it out to eligible devices. And so if you are on, I believe it's an iPhone 8 or newer, you're able to go and download iOS 16. And I was able to get this installed on my phone earlier this week, and I've not been able to take a very deep dive into all the features, but what I'm seeing so far, I really like. And so I wanted to kind of walk you through what you can expect if you download this free update, iOS 16. And so to do that, I am going to show you my screen. We're going to walk through Apple's landing page on their website that talks about iOS 16 and kind of go through some of the features. So if you're not watching this episode, you might want to head over to youtube.com/mustincrease and make sure you're watching this so that you can follow along as we walk through this somewhat visually. So here we are. We're looking at the all-new iOS 16. I'm going to walk through some of the highlights. We may not dive into obviously every little detail, but we will look at some of the high points, if you will. So the lock screen is truly, as it says here, reimagined. They are really taking, if you have an Apple Watch, what you're going to kind of pick up on almost immediately is that this is the concept that has existed with Apple Watch faces, and they're just now applying this to the home screen of the iPhone. And again, this is one of those features I haven't really dove into to set up and whatnot myself. But as you can see here, again, it feels very much like the watch. You can add widgets and be kind of customize, you know, the phone. And you notice here, there's some cool things they're doing with certain photos where, you know, the time kind of hides behind the foreground of the photo. As you can see in some of these photos, you can just barely see that demonstrated there. And so this seems to be like a really cool feature. I'm looking forward to figuring this one out and making it my own, if you will. Something that is pretty cool about it too is that you can create multiple lock screens, and so you can have these different lock screens, just like on your Apple Watch. You can have different faces. You can have these different now lock screens that you switch either manually, or you can do it based on your the different focus modes that the phone has, and so on and so forth. The notifications are a little bit different. They kind of appear now at the bottom of the screen. screen rather than stacking on the top to bottom. They're stacking more bottom to top. They're a little less intrusive that way, I'm noticing, and I'm kind of liking that. Live activities. This is something that is not yet available. They're going to push it out in a later update, but this would, for example, as you can see, if you're watching, you can see the kind of illustration they give here is if you are tracking a sports game or something, you can actually get the live updates to the game, the score, how much time is remaining, all of that right there as a live update on your lock screen. And this is going to go hand in hand with the newest iPhone 14, which has the always on display option. And so you could, in theory, pick up your phone, not even have to tap your screen, and you could see these live updates. So that is pretty cool. Now, let's talk about focus mode. Focus mode is something they actually introduced last year in iOS 15, but now they're kind of taking it to a new level. Like we said, you can have new different home pages based on your different, you know, focus modes that you have set up. Apparently, it's easier to set up a focus mode now. And again, gonna be honest, have not been able to dive into this. I do love focus mode. I have implemented it again because it was released last year, and so I can imagine that this is going to make that mode a little bit more streamlined, a little bit easier to use and more powerful. And with this, you can also have these filters where you filter out distracting content in your app. So for example, you could filter out work emails in this case, in the example kind of they're showing here on the website, you could filter out work emails if you're in a personal focus. So this is pretty great. Now, when it comes to photos, Apple is, and the iPhone is constantly upgrading cameras and what you can do with the photos. So the family sharing feature, this is something that is not a new concept. Google Photos has actually been doing this for quite some time. And I've used Google Photos in the past, and it was a nice feature in that it was something that was really cool to be able to do. And so now Apple's taken that same concept and applied it to their photos. And so with that, what they're going to be able to do is, for example, you could share photos with, you know, your spouse or your kids and automatically have certain photos or all your photos in your library shared in a shared library. And so this is a pretty cool feature. Again, I have not been able to really start to take advantage of this one much, but I'm looking forward to implementing this because it's going to be, obviously, my daughter, a lot of photos of her float around from different people in the family. And so being able to maybe consolidate some of that, that's going to be pretty cool. Now, this is something I have already started to take advantage of, and that is what's new with the messages. And so when it comes to the messages, now after you send a message, you can edit it after the fact. I believe you have up to 2 minutes or 15 minutes or something like that to make edits to any messages that you send. And I've already used this, found myself sending a message, autocorrect got the best of me, and I was able to go in and edit that message. And beyond that, now you can actually unsend messages as well. And so if you send a message to the wrong person by accident, whatever, say something you shouldn't have said, you have, I believe that's the one where you have 2 minutes to unsend that message, which is a pretty cool feature. But the editing message in particular, I've really enjoyed already taking advantage of. Now, there's some other features in messaging like share play via messages. This is a share play is something they introduced last year. To be honest, I have not taken advantage of this one time. The idea is that you can watch a show together with someone remotely. It would sync up the show in real time, and you'd be able to watch it together when you're not actually together. So it's a cool concept. I just haven't really taken advantage of it. Richer collaboration, and so things like, you know, they're saying presentation reminders, these different things you can share, and it's a little bit more streamlined and seamless there. Now, I do not use and have not used the Mail app in iOS for some time, but some of the new features that they've added do seem to be pretty cool. So now you can undo send, which is a feature that something like Gmail has had for a while, and it's not a true undo send in any email platform. What it's doing is when you do type your email and finally press send, what it does is it gives you, I don't know how much time Mail is giving you, I believe Gmail gives you about 10 seconds or so to unsend that message. But what that means is that instead of sending it right away, it's just kind of hanging out there for a few seconds. giving you a chance to click undo before it truly sends the message. And so that's similar to how mail works. You can schedule send mails now, which is a feature that I use with them. I use a mail app called Spark Mail, and they've had scheduled send for quite a while. And so that's a pretty cool feature that I think is going to be welcome for those using the mail app. There's follow-up reminders, you know, adding rich links, things like that. I believe, if I remember right, I don't see this featured here, but so maybe I'm incorrect. I'm just kind of guessing on this, but I thought I remember them saying there was the ability to snooze emails, which means you can, and maybe that's what they mean by follow-up, which means if there's an email in your inbox that you don't need to deal with now, you can snooze it to, you know, tomorrow or next week. And again, this is a feature that's in a lot of mail clients, Spark Mail being one of them, the one that I use, and I've been using that feature for a while. In fact, I would say it's crucial to my email inbox management. Safari and passkeys. Now, this is something that is going to be pretty cool. It's going to take a while to catch on, I'm sure. But basically, the idea here is that it is going to allow you to start logging into websites and apps and things like that without needing a password. Now, Apple's already been doing this with things such as their their app store and whatnot, or when you make a purchase on your phone or something like that, you're able to, instead of typing in a passcode every time, you can use the Face ID on your phone or Touch ID if it's got that to log in more or less as the security medium there to keep things private and secure, but make login very easy. They're bringing that concept to really everywhere and like I said, I'm sure it'll take some time to implement, but really what they're going to be doing here is once this is more widely implemented, you're going to be able to sign in from websites and you're just going to get a little notification on your phone that said, hey, do you want to sign in? And you're able to use Face ID to do that. And so this is pretty cool. It's definitely more secure than just having usernames and passwords. So really interested to see what comes from that. Now, this right here is one of those things, pretty unbelievable, but it works pretty much as well or better than advertised. And now this is something, live text and photos is something they introduced last year, and I felt the same way about it. I said, wow, this is incredible. So with live text and photos, which now they're applying to video as well, you can have a photo that has text in it or a phone number or an email address, and you can directly out of the photo copy and paste text. And now you're able to do that with a video. So you can pause a video and your phone is going to analyze the text of that video that you can, as the screenshot shows here, copy and paste out of. That's impressive. So that feature alone, when they introduced that in photos and now they're bringing it to video this year, that's pretty mind-blowingly awesome. But now this right here, the lifting a subject from the background, this is pretty unreal. And I've already, you know, tried this one and demonstrated it many times. And so just as it demonstrates here, you can tap and hold on the subject. So in this case, this little dog here, or, you know, in a photo of, you know, your kids or whatever, you can hold on it. Then literally you can lift that from the background and then you can share it by, you know, send just that piece, not the background, just the foreground there. This, the subject, you can send in a separate message, email, copy and paste it into another app. It's pretty impressive. If you know anything about graphic design, this is something that, you know, really up until right now that Apple's released this, that was something you had to, you know, drop into Photoshop. And I remember days when, you know, it was not an easy task to remove backgrounds from images, and this does it pretty well. And so that is one of those pretty awesome things that that they're doing now here on the iPhone. There's live text quick actions. You know, now, like I said, you can just call, you can just hover over, or you can just take your phone rather and kind of point it to a phone number, for example, and just tap that phone number and call without necessarily having to take a picture, and, you know, do all of, translate languages. I mean, this is pretty cool. This is a really cool and useful kind of piece of technology here. And again, looking forward to seeing where it goes. The dictation has been improved, which is welcome, because it's been a while since they kind of overhauled the dictation feature. And I've started to experiment with this one a little bit too. Basically now when you hit dictation, it leaves the keyboard live as well. So you can actually be talking and typing and editing in real time. It's also going to try now to insert punctuation. So whereas before you had to say, hey, where are you at? Question mark. And it would insert the question mark. Now, if you were to say, where are you at? It's going to try to intelligently assume that you're asking a question and add a question mark. And so this is some pretty cool stuff with that. Maps. I've been using Waze for a while, and the main reason is because Waze tells me where the cops are, and that is not a feature that Apple has added to Maps yet. So I don't use Maps a ton, but they do have some new improvements to Maps and so forth, and a lot of it has to do with transit and, you know, using public transportation and things like that. So I'm not going to dive into that right now. With Apple Pay and Wallet, now they've got Pay Later. So now you can split the cost of a Apple Pay purchase, pretty much any purchase, into four payments. Now, Dave Ramsey's going to hate this one because this is just another version of debt. It truly is. I mean, I honestly, I don't see myself using this. I guess it's an interesting feature, but it's there, and you're able to keep track of your orders and tracking numbers and receipts and all that directly in the Wallet app, which is pretty cool. That is nice. The Wallet app is very useful. I use that, connect my cards and stuff to that, so it's pretty cool. Being able to share keys securely, so if you've got a smart lock on your door that is compatible with your phone. Like, you know, I don't have one of these yet, but, you know, you could scan your lock with your phone and let people in. So now you can share those kind of temporary keys. Say, oh, hey, this person can have access to my home for a day or a week or whatever. That's pretty cool. Verifying your identity in apps. This is something that is only available in select states right now, but this is pretty cool to be able to have your driver's license directly on your phone. I have been wondering why it's taken them so long. Well, because it's the government, that's why, but they do nothing quick and efficiently. But having your driver's license and your government issued ID right there digitally on your phone makes a lot of sense to me. There's really very little, because I mean, really, what's going to happen anytime you need to present your ID nowadays, for other than just identifying and verifying you are who you say you are? If they really want to be legit, they're going to scan that code on the back of your license, and this would just enable that to be all done digitally. So I'm a fan of that. A lot of stuff going on with the Home app. I'm going to kind of skip over that. The main thing that I will emphasize is Matter is coming later this year. Matter is the kind of open project that Apple's spearheading that is now going to make supposedly all of our smart devices, whether they're from Apple, Google, Amazon, whoever, it's going to let them all work together. And that would be very much a welcomed change, because now it's like if you have an Amazon Echo, it's not going to work with Apple devices and vice versa. And so if there's a way to connect all of them and make it all work, that, again, is going to be pretty cool. A lot of stuff with health and fitness. Updating the fitness app on the iPhone to help you track your fitness better. You know, you can track the watch is the ideal way to do that, but now they're letting the phone do some of that. More with the family sharing. Now, this is something we've done full episodes on in the past. I really love how Apple is continuing to add more content or more content restriction things for kids and making that even more kind of more control for parents. That is really good. You're able to now set up a device for your child and kind of automatically apply the restrictions and things like that. And so this is really cool. Now, CarPlay, this is something that's not coming for a while, but CarPlay right now, if you're watching, if you're looking at my screen, you could see that CarPlay for right now is just this, you know, it's just kind of like a small little screen where you can do certain things, play music and, you know, do dictate text and have text read to you and stuff like that. Now they are going to be able to expand it to, you know, as you can see in this photo, the full dashboard of the car. Of course, cars have to be made to work with this. And so that's why these vehicles aren't going to be coming until late 2023. So, you know, we're still a year and a half, 2 years out from seeing this implemented in vehicles, but still pretty cool nonetheless. Of course, Apple's always talking about privacy and security, and they do a pretty good job of that. A lot of stuff with accessibility, so that, you know, those who are impaired or disabled can take advantage of the iPhone, and they do a really good job with that as well. Controlling your Apple Watch with your iPhone, that's a pretty cool idea, and I can see how that would be helpful for some. And then there's a lot of other features as well that they mentioned, but that's where we will pause for now. So that's iOS 16, and whether you are in the market to buy an actual new phone or not, you, if you have an iPhone, I believe, again, it's an 8 or later, you can start to take advantage of iOS 16 for free. You can just go to your settings, go to About, or is it About or Software Update? I always forget where to go exactly. But your phone's probably already let you know that there's an update available. You can install that and start to take advantage of these new features. All right, now let's answer our question. What iPhone should I get now that Apple has released all new phones? So when it comes to phones, I am a fan of trying to keep your phone updated within within 2 years. Every 2, maybe 3 years, you really should be updating your phone. This is the first year in really ever that I, since I started getting iPhones, that I am not going to be upgrading my phone after 2 years. So the phone I have right now is 2 years old. It's the iPhone 12 mini. My biggest reason for doing that is they did not release a new mini this year, and I'm upset about that. And so I don't know the mini. I will be honest, this mini, the battery's starting to kind of deplete on me. Other than that, it's pretty solid. I don't know what I'm going to do, but it doesn't matter what I'm going to do. My recommendation either way is don't go longer than 3 years without upgrading your phone. If you can do it every 2 years, great. And when you do upgrade, don't go too far back in terms of going and buying. I would say never buy a phone that's 2 years or older, that's been out for longer than 2 years. And so with that in mind, let's take a look at the screen again, and let's kind of look at some options you have for new iPhone. So I'm going to compare three models. I'm going to compare the iPhone 14 Pro. Of course, they have the Pro Max as well. The only difference there is screen size and battery life, because it's a bigger phone. It's got a little bit more of a battery. So I'm going to just compare the regular sizes, the 14 Pro, the 14, and the 13. 13 is last year's model. It's still available right now. So this year, something that I already noted in our previous episode about all of the new phones is that the significant upgrades that came this year are truly to the Pro devices and not so much to just the regular 14. And you're going to see that as we start to do this comparison. And so if you're really looking for a game-changing upgrade, I think I will say right off the bat, upgrading from the 13 to the 14, I don't really see what you're gaining there. Updating from the 13 Pro to the 14 is almost a lateral move. There's very little difference. And so we'll see that as we go through this. So first of all, let's screen. Of course, these are, we're looking at the standard screen size. All the screen sizes are the same. The 14 Pro has the ProMotion technology. The always-on display is limited to the 14 Pro models. It's not available on the 14. They've got this, what I've said before, dumb name, cool feature, Dynamic Island. It's where this little pill device here at the top of the screen that's replacing the notch, it dynamically move, or doesn't move, but kind of grows, I guess, and updates based on what's going on. It's kind of becoming where your notifications are when your phone is unlocked. So I do think it's a cool concept, but so that's obviously only on 14 Pro, because the 14 and 13 still have the notch. The emergency SOS via satellite, now that is, and crash detection, those are two things that are going to be limited now to the 14 and higher. You don't have that on the 13, but that is something on the 14 and the 14 Pro and higher. The camera, of course, the 14 Pro camera is a true massive upgrade. They went from a 12 megapixel camera now to a 48 megapixel. That's a beast of a camera. And so this, they always claim they're updating the camera. This is a true big deal update to the camera on the Pro model, though. Now, when it comes to the 14, comparing it to the 13 again, you can see the only difference between the two is that now on the 14, the front camera has autofocus. And, you know, I'm not a big selfie guy. I don't know about you, but, you know, I don't know. That just doesn't have a lot of appeal to me. So that wouldn't be enough of a reason for me to say, well, I'll go from the 13 to the 14. You can see the optical zoom range is the same on the 14 and 13, much better on the 14 Pro. And then video, the 14 Pro's battery up to 23 hours. There's a 1 hour upgrade of battery from the 13 to 14. Again, is that enough for you to pay the extra? I don't know. Now look at this. This is what I find really interesting, and I pointed this out in the last episode, is the chip. So they actually brought the A16 chip only to the iPhone 14 Pro. They took on the iPhone 14, they took the same chip as last year, and they just did a small minor upgrade. So instead of a 4-core, it's a 5-core. What does that mean? If you don't know, you won't notice. That is a very minuscule performance boost. And then as you see, Face ID, 5G cellular capabilities is all there. all of the, you know, as far as the durability and the water resistance is all the same, compatible with MagSafe, starts at the same capacity. Of course, with the Pro model, you can get a terabyte. You really only need a terabyte of phone storage if you're doing a lot of like 4K ProRes video. And for the true pros out there, that would make sense. I don't really see why you'd need a terabyte or even 512 gigs. I think 256 is probably the max, and that's just if you are taking a crazy amount of photos. And then we can look at all the specs of display. Again, want to highlight the differences between the display on the 13 and the 14 are pretty much, I'm confirming here, pretty much nothing. Exactly the same in terms of display. Size and weight. It looks like the 14 is actually 0.01 inches thicker. That's interesting. And then the weight, it weighs just a little bit less. And so very little difference in the look. Your cases are probably going to fit from the 13 to the 14. So what phone should you get? Well, here's where I'm at. If in the market for a new phone, I don't think you should buy anything below the 13. Now, they do have the iPhone SE. That is a low cost phone that's intentionally stripped down to be affordable. It's still got the home button. It does not have, it's this much smaller screen, does not have near as good of a camera, near as good of a battery. It has Touch ID instead of Face ID. Some people might be content with this. I wouldn't go that route. It's just not a lot going on in that phone compared to what you could get for not too much more. And so I would say here's what I do like about the 13 line as well, is they still have a mini. And so the nice thing about a mini, do they have the prices down here on this page or do they just, I'll navigate over to that here in a second here. But the thing about the mini is that obviously it's a smaller size and the battery is going to be a little bit less than the regular 13. But other than that, it's exactly the same. So really what we're looking at here is the 13 mini and the 14 are basically very similar. Like maybe there's a 5% improvement in the 14 overall. But if we look at the pricing here, let's go over here to the iPhone. Where'd it go? Oh yeah, the 13. And then let's go to, here we go. So if I go to the 13 mini starts at $599. Okay. So that's what that starts at. Now, if I want to go buy a 14, let's go to 14. Let's check the pre-order option there. So the 14 is going to start, because again, there is no mini, $200 more. So I understand. Even if you want the bigger size, it's $100 less to get the 13. So here's what I'm thinking. If I wanted the 14, I would really consider just getting the 13. Because again, when we go to the comparison, there is very little difference. And I would do the 13 mini because I like the smaller size, but it does make it even cheaper as well. But again, when you just compare the regular 13 to the regular 14, very little difference as you go through here. I mean, again, the main difference, I mean, really, again, the slightly better front camera, again, big deal, 1 hour better of battery, which again is probably not something that's going to be a real game changer. And so really, other than that, the only significant difference is that it has the crash detection, which is cool. It means if you're in a car crash, it's going to be able to automatically detect that and potentially alert emergency contacts and authorities and things like that. And it's got the ability to connect to satellite, which again, unless you plan on going off the grid a lot, I don't really see why you would need that one a ton. So I don't know. It's one of those things. I mean, I guess the only choice you're making has to do with safety and security. If you want to feel a little safer that your phone's going to detect crashes, that your phone is going to allow you to connect to a satellite, then maybe that's enough reason to spend the extra $100, $200. But again, if I'm going based off of everything else, I'm looking at the 13 as opposed to the 14 because it is virtually the same. Now, that said, the Pro is truly an incredible upgrade. This is the first time I've ever been tempted to upgrade to a Pro model. The Pro models have not impressed me thus far because usually there's a very incremental difference between, like in this case, what would have been the 13 and the 13 Pro. Very incremental difference, very small, unknown, noticeable. This time though, because they did very little to truly upgrade the 14, we are looking at very significant upgrades on the 14 Pro. It is cool to have a little bit of a visual as far as aesthetic design difference with the what they call the dynamic island, the little pill up here as opposed to the notch. And then again, the display is better. It's got that always on capability. And the camera is absolutely incredible. And the battery life is, you know, 3 to 4 hours more. So yeah, that's what I would say. But again, all this comes down to your budget. So what would I say? I would say get nothing less than the iPhone 13. And then when it comes to the Pro, it just matters if you care about the Pro, because you have to ask yourself, you know, your biggest significant difference is going to be if you can get through, like I said, if you don't consider aesthetic things like the dynamic island thing, your biggest difference is going to be the camera. And it's a significant upgrade to the camera, but do you really need it? Because I can tell you this, the 14 and the 13 and the 12, even they still take incredible photos. And so if it's me, I'm saying, man, this might be the first year for the average consumer, the person who's not a true pro. It might be the year to just not pull with buying the latest and greatest and just going with a 13. So that's what I would recommend. And I want to know what you think. Let me know your thoughts. Feel free to, if you're watching on YouTube, drop your thoughts in the comments or something like that. By the way, we do love to get reviews on Apple Podcast. Go in there, giving us a 5-star review and letting us know your thoughts there. So let us know your thoughts. And of course, remember, if you have thoughts or questions, remember to text those to 615-900-4461. That's 615-900-4461. Then again, don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. And hey, share this with your friends if you enjoy this content. Pastors, this is good content for your fellow church leaders. It also might be good content for your church. You know, we are trying to help all people navigate this crazy media-driven society to be responsible consumers and even have a process in contributing to the creative process and creating good content. Of course, you can find all the different ways to connect with us online at mustincrease.com. And I thank you so much for being with us today. I look forward to seeing you next time as we continue to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others right here on the Must Increase podcast.